feel like this podcast was a while ago, but I remember listening to it, one of your guys's. It was about the scale, and you had this analogy where, like, the number on the scale doesn't even mean anything because, like, your muscle mass, whether or not you've gone to the bathroom, like, all your hormones, like, all of these things affect it. And I remember your analogy was like, it's like you have a basket of, I don't know, like apples and oranges or something. And like, but you want to know how much the oranges weigh. So you're weighing it all together and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, yeah, that really doesn't. Like, obviously someone with more muscle mass is going to weigh more than someone like who looks the same but has less muscle mass. One of those, that like podcast really stuck out to me, like, and got me thinking about it.
The big question is this. In a world of fake Instagram models and fad diets, how do real people achieve their fitness goals? We are an army of hardworking women changing their lives through fitness and health. Wherever you are at on your journey, we have the answers to how to make working out and eating well a part of your life. Join us in changing the dialogue for women everywhere. Welcome to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Rachel. Guys, we have a super special guest today that you might even know from our Facebook group. We have Eileen Hiddle. Eileen, we are so excited to have you on the podcast today because your story has been one that we've been following since 2018 when we first met you. And your story is just so inspirational. It's so incredible in so many ways. And you really are honestly an embodiment of why we started everything. We say that all the time. Like, why are we doing what we're doing every day, Eileen? And it's just something that I thought needed to be shared with the rest of the TTSL pod squad. So welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. Super great to like get to talk to you, like see your face. I mean, I love all the little Facebook comments and everything, but yeah, thank you for having me. Like you said, I've been part of the CBG Facebook group since, I think it was May of 2018. I don't even remember how I found it. It's just one of those things. Facebook knew I was into fitness, and then I found your page that way, I guess. At the time, I was 2 months postpartum from my first child, I think. So I wasn't like really doing a whole lot at the time. But it was, yeah, I've seen a lot of just great posts in that group, and it's just a really positive place. And I mean, I'm flattered that you call me an inspiration, but I really think everyone else in that group is a huge inspiration for me.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think with some of the ladies like in the group, when we first started, it was such a small community. And thinking back to 2018 of just like the community and how it was building, it was just like this, we wanted to create this space, but it was really you guys who took it from there, like posting your like stories, your accomplishments, or like wherever you were in your journey. And I think the coolest part for me and Rachel is watching your journey from 2018 to how it is now has like really been incredible. So I want to just like take you back to 2018 for a second. Joining the group, I think it was fate. But when you first started posting in the community, some of your posts, they indicated some deep-rooted body confidence issues. And Rachel and I specifically noted one of the posts that had stuck out in our minds was, I don't know if it was one of your first, but it was definitely up there where you were picking up a very young baby. You said you were 2 months postpartum. So you're picking up a very young baby, and you were asking the group whether or not your roles were too noticeable. And that kind of like stuck out. You're like, I probably don't even remember this.
I don't know.
I remember.
So like that, Eileen, and just like how you were feeling about your body at that time.
That would have been when my son was really little. Excuse me. So he's 6 now, right? Just turned 6. But I mean, at the time, pregnancy was like, it was a ride. I mean, you go through all of these changes, your body does not look the same after. Even in my case, I didn't even like gain that much weight during my pregnancy, but it's still just like it's a huge change. And then your body like isn't your own for those 9 months. And then I breastfed both my kids for a very long time. So it still doesn't quite feel like your own again after you have the baby. And it's hard getting back to a point where you feel good about your body again. You know, some women just love being pregnant and don't have any, I guess, bad self-esteem issues from it, because I feel like some people just like really accept that that's part of pregnancy. But like for me, especially at that time, I did not accept it and I did not feel comfortable. And I know I've grown a lot, because I can really say that like now, you know, if I'm not having another baby, but if I were to, like, those things wouldn't bother me at all, because like I know that that's normal. And obviously, like, you're not going to have a flat stomach and abs a month after having a baby. I mean, maybe some people do, but like most people don't. And back then that really upset me. Whereas like, I know now that that's, I don't want to minimize anyone's feelings, but that's just, I feel like a ridiculous thing to be upset about, because your body like housed a baby. Like it's going to be different. So I totally believe, I mean, I don't remember the specific post you're mentioning, but I totally believe I said that, because back at that time, that was my mindset. And even super fit people now, like most people do have some kind of role if you're bending over. So like, why should anyone feel self-conscious about that?
What a tremendous amount of growth here. Like when I first saw that post, it hurt my heart, because you were extremely small. And it was clear to me that there was definitely a body dysmorphia aspect to that, because it hurt me so much to see a new young mother, you know, having those type of feelings, and to hear or to see even your face when we say about that post, and you kind of like scoff at it and it's like, oh, that's so silly. I can't believe I did that. Like you cannot imagine the amount of personal growth that it takes to go from that end of the spectrum to just like completely laughing that off and saying how silly of me. There is so much ingrained in that. And I just want to stop for a second and just applaud your efforts, because that's crazy, Eileen. That's crazy in 6 years to be able to be on the other side looking in and saying, wow, that was a really beautiful thing my body did. And how dare I talk about it like that?
For sure. I think it stems from when I was in high school. I was never like officially diagnosed with anorexia, but like I had something like that for sure. Like I barely ate my junior year of high school. I think I was like 90 pounds soaking wet, like, which for my height was definitely not normal. So I was still kind of very much in that mindset. You know, does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. We're not expecting sometimes the kinds of changes and levels, and we set this idea in our mind of what we're going to look like when we're pregnant and how adorably cute and fit we're going to be. And it's like how fast we're going to recover. And I just think that's super relatable, and also leads me into my next question, because a lot of the women in our Facebook group have identified now, kind of looking on the other side, that they received a lot of harmful messaging growing up that they didn't even realize was harmful, that kind of felt like, you know, the norm. And then it kind of related to the way they thought about and treated their body later in their life. And I just wanted to ask you if there's anything, you know, specific that you can think of that when you were young that changed your self-perception and some messaging that you might have received.
You know, it's hard to pinpoint like one specific thing, but I remember like being in middle school, even like as young as the sixth grade. And, you know, at that point you're really wanting to, like, you're trying to grow up faster than you should, you know, I feel like most girls are at that point. And so you're reading all of these like teen magazines, and everything out there was just about like dieting and how to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. And like, I remember like the Special K diet was like super popular back then. Everyone was doing Weight Watchers, like being, I feel like, you know, and everyone was talking about being toned, but no one was talking about trying to get stronger. They're just talking about trying to get like skinnier. And it was just, I think that message being like thrown at us like constantly. Like it's really hard, especially if you're an impressionable young preteen or early teenager, to like not internalize all of that. So then you see movies where like all the actresses are super thin and you're like, wow, like I don't look like that. Meanwhile, like you're 12 years old and you're probably skinnier than the adult woman, but like you've internalized that so much, you honestly don't even see that. Like, and also it shouldn't even be a comparison. Like when you're a teenager or in middle school, like looking at a movie star on a TV show or a movie, like that's not even the same thing at all. So I just think of that being like constantly internalized. And I think it was also just for me, and I think for a lot of girls, like feeling like you can control something in a time when like maybe not in your life, not a lot of things in your life are in your control. So if you can like control how little you eat or how small you are and feel like you've done something, I think that's a big part of it too. And when you don't have anyone telling you, no, how about instead of focusing on that, you can focus on like eating healthy, like eating good foods and trying to get stronger and trying to get fitter. Like obviously you're not going to come up with that all by yourself. I don't think most people would. So I really can't pinpoint like one exact thing, but I just think it's the constant bombardment of all of these like negative messages about women's bodies. And I think most women really internalize that.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with that. Like it was never presented in a way to us that like, hey, maybe we should talk about being healthy and not skinny, and that those two things are not synonymous. Like that was never even, and as I think about it now, I know you said like kind of growing up and what the magazines have done and the messaging. It's so weird because once you get in different circles where we start talking about health, we start talking about strength, and we start talking about like what our bodies can do, it seems like that is, it definitely is more prevalent and it's definitely gaining steam. But those are just kind of like the algorithms we're in, because like when I step outside of them and think and like hear some of these just like other conversations going on, I'm like, are we still talking about that? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're still, the goal still like for, from a societal perspective, like the goal still is like, you know, this like thin, or like if you're working out, you're working out to be thin, or if you're watching your nutrition or trying to eat nutritious foods, it is to become thinner. And it's like, though, that's not my goal. My goal is not to be thinner. And just presenting the idea feels so weird. So something like I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit about, because when, you know, when Rachel and I started the group, we thought this messaging was going to be not well received. Our first podcast was called Fuck the Scale. And we were just like entering in the health and fitness industry with this kind of aggressive messaging in the other direction. We were like, nobody is going to like this. No, it is not going to catch. So I kind of wanted to ask you, like, you entered the group in a very different mindset, and it was towards being skinnier and being smaller. What kind of stuck out to you when you got into the group that kind of helped reframe some of those ideas into, like, obviously it took years. We're talking like 6 years later. So I don't want anyone listening to think like, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and it's going to be a total transformation. Like, not it. But what, do you have anything that stuck out to you, like being in the group, that kind of helped you transform that mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I thought of when you asked that was the whole concept of performance-based goals and non-scale victories, like NSVs. I had like never even heard of that term before. Did you guys make it up? Like, I mean, yeah, like it was just seeing people start to like post about those kinds of things, like, got me thinking like, wait, like your main goal isn't to lose weight or to like stay thin, like what? And seeing people get excited about doing things like, you know, their first push-up or their first pull-up, or I went and ran my first race, like, and what women were excited about was accomplishing these tasks and people being able to do these things that they hadn't been able to do before. That kind of like got me thinking that like maybe that should be your main focus, you know? So I kind of slowly but like surely started kind of going that way. And over time I realized, no, it's actually like a lot more fun to go to the gym when you're focusing on like if you're able to do more than you could last week or last month or last year. Like it, and I feel like it's a lot healthier mindset and like not toxic. Like if you're making yourself go to the gym, even though like you're tired and you don't want to go, but you're like, oh, like I gotta like fit in the size pants. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a lot more negative than making yourself go to the gym because you're like, hey, like I know it's good for me. I know I feel better when I go, you know, it's just changing that mindset, I feel like. So that was seeing like women post about that was definitely like a huge, I think, catalyst towards changing my mindset.
That's amazing, Eileen. Sometimes I think what happened in the beginning was we were under the impression that a lot of the messaging that was in the fitness industry was like the preferred messaging. It was like we were going to come in with this like, hey, get off the scale. And everyone was going to be like, but we love the scale. Fuck you. And actually, you like boiled it down to something so simple, which was just like, well, I had never been presented with those ideas before. No one had even mentioned to me that like, hey, the gym could be like something that you actually go and do with self-love rather than self-hate.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it wasn't even like an option. Like it had never even occurred to me before. Like, and why would it? If you've grown up with this messaging ingrained in you for years, in very impressionable young years, like it's kind of a relief having someone tell you, actually, like, no, you don't have to care about that number on the scale. You don't have to care about what size you are. Like, I feel like, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this way, I feel like a lot of women love CBG and the message that you guys put out there, because it's just freeing to, not that like you're giving permission, but it's like, it feels like, oh, I have permission to not care about this anymore. I don't have to care about this anymore. So when before it wasn't even an option, it wasn't even like on your radar. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
It just doesn't seem like it was going to be that simple to just present an alternate message and just be like, hey, you know, there's this other thing if you're into it, and just have like thousands of people just be like, yes, I'm into that. Like I just wasn't anticipating, honestly, that it would be that easy. But that also just points to how ingrained these things are societally and how much work needs to be done to even just have an alternative message and then get people to bite. So it's like, I messaged you about this the other day because I just started crying because I saw your post on Instagram with a back squat PR. And I immediately remembered the post where you said that you were just starting to like get into TTSL or maybe the free workouts or maybe the ebook, and you were asking me about back squatting an empty bar because you were super intimidated and you were like, it was like a thing. Like you had it in your mind that it was dangerous. And you said, like, I just can't bring myself to back squat an empty bar. And I just remember how incredibly brave you were to like do the thing that was so built up in your mind as this really scary thing. And I think it's so relatable because I think so many women see a barbell and they're like, that is super intimidating to me. I've never pictured a world in which I touch that thing. And I just wanted to bring you back to the Eileen that messaged me and said, like, I can't do this. I can't squat this empty barbell. And then the Eileen that, what was your PR the other a couple weeks ago?
190.
When you weren't supposed to be testing your PR. 190.
She got back to a heavy single.
Eileen, in case anybody doesn't know, an empty barbell weighs about 45 pounds, depending on what barbell you're using. She just back squatted 190, guys. So like, bring us back to the Eileen that's nervous to back squat the empty bar and talk to women that are in that place and tell them how Eileen squats 190 now.
Well, so back then when I was nervous about even thinking about adding weight to the barbell, I think there were two things that I know I was nervous about back then. Number one, what if I hurt myself? What if I can't get the bar back up? Like, what happens? And two, embarrassing myself in the gym in front of other people. I think those are the two things most people would agree with, like that are hindering them from trying to lift more weight and bailing on weights that are too heavy. So first off, like, I would say to really practice and get comfortable with the empty bar. And there's the 45 pound barbell, and there's also, like, my gym has it's 15 kgs, so I think that's 33 pounds. I'm sure most gyms, like, have smaller ones, so I'd encourage people to use, like, smaller barbells. I never used a PVC pipe, but I know that's also an option. And then to, like, get comfortable with the safety bars and, like, knowing, okay, if there's safety bars there and you're squatting and then you can't get back up, you literally just, like, squat a little more and then the bar touches the safety bars and you're fine. Like, nothing bad is going to happen. And also, like, and then practicing that with a low weight that, like, you know you can get up, but just, like, practicing. And then there's, like, actually bailing with, like, a heavier barbell when you, like, jump out from under it. And you guys have a lot of great videos on how to do that. And even not too long ago, I was practicing bailouts because that's still something, like, I'm not super comfortable with. But, like, I know I feel a lot more comfortable doing that now. But I still squat with safeties just because, like, my gym isn't really, like, the gym I go to isn't really set up to be bailing like that. People could be walking behind you. So, like, I tend to go in the cage anyway because I don't want to accidentally throw a barbell on somebody. But and then as far as, like, worrying what people think about you if you fail on a squat, like, honestly, I would say most people in the gym do not care what you're doing. And it's really, like, getting that concept, like, through your head, like, and thinking, like, okay, how would you react if you saw someone, like, bail on a squat? Like, I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't even care. Like, if it was really heavy, I'd probably feel, like, bad for them. Like, oh man, you'll get it next time. Like, you know, like, I think it's just, like, getting that concept through your head that, like, no one else really cares what you're doing. They're all too worried about their own insecurities and their own goals. Like, and honestly, even if somebody is judging you for what you're doing, like, I feel like that says a lot more about them than you. Cause, like, what are you doing going to a gym and worrying about what other people are doing? Like, why would, that just seems so pointless to me. Like, why are you going to judge somebody else for what they're doing? Unless you're, like, genuinely worried they're going to, like, hurt themselves. Like, why do you care if they're bailing on a squat? Like, why does that even affect you? Like, I don't know. So, and that is definitely one of those things that, like, does not happen overnight. It's like retraining yourself to think, like, I really don't care if someone sees me bail on the squat. Like, you know, it takes time to get to that point, but truly, like, nobody else in the gym should be worried about what you're doing, and they probably aren't.
Oh, it's me. We're interrupting this podcast to tell you about the coolest leggings that have ever been on the planet ever. And if you are going to try to crush this new year, you need them. Why are you laughing?
You sounded like that kid. Have you ever had a dream where... Have you ever tried the best leggings and then they are sweatproof?
No, it's so true. Sweatproof, squatproof. They are so freaking comfortable and they have pockets. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not currently wearing our leggings, I gotta tell you, you are missing the boat, sis.
You're missing the boat. And the thing is, most people don't know as they start to get new leggings that not all leggings are created equal. Ooh. And you don't know that your leggings are see-through until you've been wearing them for a month at the gym and someone gets up the courage to tell you that they've been seeing through. Our leggings never see through, completely squat proof, sweat proof, and they stay up while you're working out. So grab a pair for this new year at constantlyvariedgear.com. I love for people to hear how, like, repetitively doing some of those things and just keep practicing that mindset over time can start at I am too self-conscious to attempt an empty barbell to I just back squatted 190. Like, that is, like, you can see growth in a mindset, like, in the weight on the bar. You know what I mean? Like, you can see so much growth there that, like, it definitely, like, you didn't go from an empty barbell to 190 overnight, but you didn't go from thinking, like, people are going to judge me, I'm super scared, to bail, to, like, if I saw someone else bail, I'd be like, oh man, you're going to get that next time. Cause that's genuinely what most of us are thinking. If you see someone who is, you know, bailing a squat next to you, you're like, oh man, good try. Like, you'll definitely get it back next time. Like, we're all, like, anyone who is glancing up, especially veterans, are just like, oh, Come for it next time. See it in 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, all that's actually, you know, what people around you, if they notice, are thinking. Like, we're going to say to you, like, oh man, come back for it next time, because like, we're all there to get better. We're all there to work on our own goals. But like, that type of thinking and that confidence that's built, it really doesn't happen overnight. And I think just some of the things that we want for confidence in the gym, we expect that you're just going to walk in and know what you're doing. You're going to walk in and feel confident. You're going to walk in and feel like no one's judging you. But like, that building that mindset is small things day after day after day, and practicing some of them. And that's how we kind of get to that next stage of like, doesn't matter if I bail. I've failed before. I got here. I got so far. So I did want to talk to you a little bit about how your fitness goals have changed over the years, obviously dramatically, and they've gone in stages. But what are you most proud of about your current, you know, the current stage that you're in for your fitness, and what keeps you going back?
I would say like kind of I talked about earlier, switching my mindset to like performance-based goals. So one of the things I finally did this year that like I've been trying for over a year now, probably, and it's not pretty, but like I did my first muscle up this year, like a real one, not with a band or jumping off a box. Like, so it's, again, I have to fix it. Like, it's not, the form's not great. So I'm trying to do things to like make that better. But like,
we're not doing that, Eileen. We're not doing that. You got your first muscle up and there's no asterisk at all.
I mean, like,
the hardest skill to acquire.
I want it to be better. Like, so I'm still, like, I want to keep going to the gym because I want to be able to, like, I want to be able to bust those out. Like, I want to be able to do more than one. Like, you know, I want to do one where I'm not chicken winging and then my elbow hurts after. Like, no, I want to do it the right way. So I like to practice, you know, things like that. I've been working. I also, another thing I'm trying to do is like learn how to do handstands. So I like to practice handstands a couple times a week because I'm trying to get good at those. And that is so much harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, why is that so hard? It is. It frustrates me so much, but like I want to get better. My favorite lift is probably like, I really like squat cleans. Most of us probably do. I'm trying to like be able to do heavier squat cleans. Like, I just want to be able to do more and get better in that. And just feeling strong, like you accomplished something, is a bigger boost to your self-esteem than like weighing a certain amount. Cause like my main goal was to be like, hey, like I want to work out so that I can like stay 110 pounds. Like, all right, I got to 110 pounds. Didn't make me happy. Like, whatever. So focusing on goals that like actually like genuinely do make me happy and feel proud of myself versus like just a number on the scale. And actually that reminds me, one of the, I feel like this podcast was a while ago, but I remember listening to it, one of your guys's, it was about the scale, and you had this analogy where like the number on the scale doesn't even mean anything, because like, you know, your muscle mass, whether or not you've gone to the bathroom, like all your hormones, like all of these things affect it. And I remember your analogy was like, it's like you have a basket of, I don't know, like apples and oranges or something. And like, but you want to know how much the oranges weigh, so you're weighing it all together and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, yeah, that really doesn't. Like, obviously someone with more muscle mass is going to weigh more than someone like who looks the same but has less muscle mass, you know? So one of those, that like podcast really stuck out to me, like, and got me thinking about it.
Can I ask you something? And I don't want this to be triggering. If it is, then just totally ignore me. But because I know that I remember the post where you got to 109 pounds, actually, and you took a picture of the scale and you posted it in the group and you were feeling
so excited.
So I want to talk to you for a second about the realization that carrying more muscle mass is going to make you weigh more, and how you've kind of navigated that and dealt with that, coming from a background where you were so weight driven and that was kind of everything.
I mean, I really just changed, you know, over time, changing my goals to like being stronger and faster. I realized like, if I want to accomplish those things, I cannot weigh 109 pounds. Like, I cannot have both of those things. Cannot do it. My body does not. Someone's bodies are happy being there. Mine is not. So I had to kind of let go of that in order to focus on my new goals. And then kind of once I gained a little weight, I realized, like, wait, like, the world hasn't ended. I don't really look like I'm not unhappy with how I look. Like, this is fine. Like, so yeah, it was just, I think it, over time, I realized I had to, like, kind of change my focus and give up that outdated goal for my new ones.
Was it hard?
Yeah, I would say it was hard for sure. It has taken me years to be comfortable with saying, like, no, I'm not 109 pounds anymore. I'm probably around 130 pounds, maybe more. I don't have a scale in my house. So, and I'm fine with that.
She doesn't have a scale in her house.
No, nope, I do not.
The best story. She's everything that I wanted to do. She's just like, that's Kelsey. That's what we wanted. She was posting pictures of her scale and now she doesn't even own one.
Nope.
It genuinely just, like, makes me cry all the time. Like, I just, like, think about your story all the time, like, genuinely. And I think, like, it's not weird, but, like, the Rachel and I were talking about it one time and I was like, I'm just so damn proud. Like, I'm just so proud because, like, the getting from point A to point B, getting from those two different places sometimes feels so far apart from, like, I have to weigh 109 pounds to, like, I don't own a scale in my house because I am so focused on what my body can do and the actual health of my body. And I know I cannot do that while I cannot reach those goals while holding on to this other thing. And we've tried to, like, say that in so many different ways throughout the years of, like, if people hit us back with, well, I need the data. I need the data. And it's like, the data isn't accurate. It's not accurate. So you're using inaccurate measurements to come up with this thing that just actually only hurts you. So it's like, it's only hindering your progress by using this inaccurate data than calling it some metric that you're using. And it's just like, it's so hard to get. And I don't want to downplay, you know, how difficult that is to let go of something that not only we've held on to for so long, individually we've held on for so long, and how it just has run our minds with self-worth and what my worth is and how it's tied to this specific number. And breaking up with that is so difficult. So I just, at the end of the day, I'm just so damn proud.
I'm so damn proud of you.
Well, and that's also a big part of why, like, I don't even have one in my house. Cause, like, it's not going to tell me anything useful. Like, and it's also, like, triggering. Like, if I start weighing myself every day, then I might, like, start thinking about the number. Like, I don't really want to think about that because it's not helpful.
100% triggering. Like, even I would consider myself so broken up from the scale. I definitely don't have one in the house. But, like, I recently went to the doctors. They asked me to get on. I said, no. That's not my journey today. No, thank you. Like, you're like, because, like, I know sometimes no matter how much healing you can do and how much you can separate from that, you know that something's going to be a trigger for you. And I know it's a trigger for me. So I separate myself from it. Like, no, we're not going to go down that road.
Like, for sure. I also went to the doctor the other day and I weighed myself and I was like, really? I didn't think I weighed that much. And at first, like, I was, like, upset about it. And then I was like, why am I upset about this? Like, it makes, you know, it was also at the time of day, like, it made sense that it was a little heavier even than I thought it would be. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't even matter.
And then you're like, so, you know what? I just did a muscle up.
Yeah.
The ultimate form of body control. Talking about, like, control, like, you can do handstands. Like, that level of, like, control and confidence in your body is just, like, wow.
It's beyond. It's just, it makes me just, it's just so full circle. So we have talked a lot on the podcast about the influence of the kind of content that we're consuming and the people that we surround ourselves with on a daily basis and how much it affects our thoughts and actions. And Kelsey, you mentioned, like, being in the algorithms of, you know, strength and being in, you know, the CBG group and hearing these kinds of messages it kind of makes you not realize that the other ones are still out there. But do you find it easier to kind of turn off those messaging that might be coming in, or that, you know, because it's still everywhere you go, you can still be told, well, don't you want to lose 10 pounds in 10 days for your next cruise? Don't you want your summer body? Don't you want, do you find that with your new friends that you've met through fitness, that it's easier to kind of shush those messages?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it goes back into, you know, like, you know, when we're younger and constantly bombarded with these messages of like thinner is better, it's the same thing now. You can change like by people you follow on social media and like your friends in real life. Like if you have more people and influences telling you, actually being stronger is better, being able to like do more with your body is better, like sooner or later, if that message is way overpowering the other ones, like that's going to change your way of thinking. You could say that about anything, that if you're, you know, with your friends or social media or anything, if you're trying to like change your mindset a certain way constantly, like if you're constantly showing your brain a certain thing, like eventually it's gonna change.
And just with like people celebrating the same wins, like I found that to be one of the things, like when we first started the group, that I was like, we really have to celebrate. That's what non-scale victory is, so like where it came from. We got to really celebrate some of these different ideas and just like how amazing they are, because they are amazing. Like women being able to do these, have such like body control and being able to become stronger and healthier and just like live a life and take up space and like enter a room with confidence. And like, that's going to change the world. And it, I mean, it is like, that's because it trickles into every aspect of your life, but it also becomes less of a competition between women. It becomes more of a celebration for what, you know, each of us can do.
Eileen, has anybody been surprised by your transformation? Have you had any like kickback from, you know, people who knew you before and people who know you now? The way you walk into a room is different now than it was?
Yeah. I wouldn't really say I've had any like pushback. I definitely get, sometimes I'll get comments like, you know, I don't know how you spend so much time in the gym. And I'm like, I don't think I spend that much time in the gym. I go like maybe 4 or 5 days a week and for an hour, hour and a half. Like, I mean, maybe for some people that's a lot, but like, I don't really think it's that much. Another motivation for me is like, you know, well, my son's in school now, but my daughter's younger, so she goes in the daycare there. It's like a break for me, like where I'm just focusing on myself versus being a mom. But so I'm more so like, I'll get comments like, I don't know how you spend that much time in the gym. And I'm like, I don't know, I just make it priority. Like it makes me feel better. And it's just so ingrained into me that I'm going to make time for this, that like, it's not an issue. You know, and sometimes I get comments about how, you know, it looks like I put on muscle, and I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. But like, really, like, I don't get a lot of comments, and I don't expect it either. Like people are too focused on their own lives. The biggest one I'd say is sometimes people will say things like, well, you know, I don't want to put on too much muscle, I don't want to get bulky. And I'm like, I'm trying. You think you're just gonna like get bulky? Like, that's not how, I mean, not unless you drastically change your eating, spend hours in the gym, and maybe go on steroids. Like, maybe then you can get bulky, but like,
and you have stellar genetics.
Like, yeah, like, I'm like, do you think it's that easy? Like, okay. Like, that's the biggest, and I don't like to argue with people, so I'm just like, I usually just say something like, oh, I don't really think that's been an issue. Like, I'm not gonna like confront anyone about it, but that's, I think there's still this, you know, perception out there that like if you lift weights you're going to get bulky, and I'm like, no, you are not. Like, it's not gonna happen. Like, so I think that's the biggest thing. But like, I don't, to be honest, back years ago when I was in high school, I don't really talk to that many people from high school anymore, and my family now, like my friend's family now, they just know me like that I've always been into fitness, and I don't think they really grasp how much like my goals have changed, really, if that makes sense. It's not something I think that most people think about.
What a lucky thing. What a lucky thing. Because a lot of people, they don't have strong circles that surround them, or they don't have people that are just supportive of their self-growth above all else. And a lot of women find that when they're entering a room differently, when they're coming with more self-confidence, when they're saying like, yeah, I lift heavy, like people are a little bit put off by that. And I think that that's an amazing thing that you are surrounded by so many people who just love and support you, and you get to show your kids just the most strong, confident version of yourself without without any kickback from anyone. I just want you to know that that's a really, you're surrounded by some really great people. So good for you.
I am lucky.
Eileen, leave us with some goals that you are working towards. It does not have to be fitness. Who is Eileen in 2024? Who is Eileen in 2025? What is Eileen working on in her life now that she's busted the scale?
I think I've already, you know, shared kind of some of the fitness goals I'm working on. I have two kids. I'm trying to, you know, always be the best mom I can be, best wife I can be. I would really like to just try to focus more on my family and being there for them. It's getting easier. My kids are getting older, so it's like easier. I felt like I was in the trenches for a while with the toddler years. It's just a lot. And then I love my job now, but I would really like to be able to start working normal people daytime hours. I work nights and it's really hard, but I can't really do that right now without taking a new job. And if I do take another job, it has to be something I love as much as I'm doing now. So I'm working on that, but who knows when that's going to happen. So I'm hoping in the next year or two, I can be on day shift and start feeling more like a human. And then I don't know. I like, you know, in the summer, I want to go backpacking, camping as much as I can, be out in the boat with my family as much as I can. Just, I don't know. I guess I don't have any like big or major goals. I'm not going back to school or, you know, I've already bought a house. I'm not going to be buying another house anytime soon. Just trying to like get through it. And
well, I've seen you backpacking with your kid. I know that's really important to you. I've seen you backpacking with your kids in tow and like carrying them the whole way. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you've found this amazing outlet for your fitness so that you can do the things that you love and share them with your kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. The gym is something I do year round, and backpacking can only really do when there's no snow on the mountains or, you know, very little snow on the mountains. So being able to go and do that, like know that I can carry my child or a 40-pound pack with all my supplies for 15 miles in a day, 2,000 or 3,000 feet of elevation, is pretty cool. So that's what I want to do in the summer. I would go backpacking all the time, but obviously I'm not going to like ditch my kids to do that every weekend. So I just go as much as I can and take what I can get. But fitness has definitely helped me do that. I remember because I've always liked hiking, but when I was smaller, like I would get like winded and would have to take a lot more breaks. And now I don't really need to take breaks. If I keep a steady pace, I just go. So that's a good feeling for sure.
How cool. We are so happy and thankful that you took the time to hang out with us today, even with momming and night shift, labor and delivery nurse. And I mean, you're just doing it all. And I'm sure you're going to get to the gym today too. So thank you for taking the time. We are in awe of your story. We are in awe of your strength. And honestly, we're just so happy that you gave us the opportunity to witness your fitness, because it's been a really incredible journey.
Thank you for having me. It was so great to get to like talk to you guys. Like I was just telling someone, like I don't really like care about like famous people or any of that, but like you guys are like my celebrities, so it's like really great that I got to like actually like talk to you. So thank you for the opportunity. And also, thank you again for creating CBG, because like I'd say like your group and message has been like a big part of how I've been able to kind of grow and move forward with not just my fitness, but also just like you know, self-esteem and like life goals. I think I just love your company and love what you guys do and keep doing it.
And we love you. Thank you for being with us, Eileen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. If you'd like to join our movement, get in our free app, CVG Nation, available in your app store. We have an amazing community of women, coaches to help you with your movements, challenges, and we give away leggings daily in there. Rachel and I are in there every day, so it's a perfect place to get in touch with us. This podcast is made possible by Constantly Varied Gear, so be sure to check out constantlyvariedgear.com. Have an amazing week. Crush your goals.